Good day and welcome to the Upper Room Apostolic Podcast. If this is your first time listening, you may consider hitting the follow button so that you will be updated every time a new episode comes out. The Upper Room Apostolic Podcast aims to deliver inspiring messages from God's Word. Episodes uploaded are originally written as article posts in www.upcmalabon.wordpress.com. May the Lord bless you with His Word today as you listen. Divine Healing. Exodus 15:26 and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in His sight, and wilt give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." After the Israelites walked through the parted Red Sea and the Lord drowning the Egyptian armies that pursued them, they walked through the wilderness for 3 days without water. Exodus 15:22, this is a big problem for a multitude of millions, we can imagine. Finally they reached Marah, not the original name of the place, but was called so because of the bitterness of water found there, as what the word Marah means, but the water there was bitter and they could not drink it. So the Israelites did what they always do whenever a difficulty arose. A few days ago, they were singing praises and thanksgiving unto the Lord for the parting of the Red Sea and their victory over the Egyptians, but now, they began murmuring against Moses, v. 24. And Moses also did what he always do, whenever troubles arise, and that is to call unto God for help. Exodus 15:25 And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet, there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Just around the corner was the solution to their problem, and the Lord just needed to show it to Moses. The tree that would make the bitter waters sweet, was already there, even before they arrived at Marah. The solution to their problems had already been prepared by God long before they even had the problem. With the trial, God provides the solution, or a way of escape that we may bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13 There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. The tree that they casted to the waters absorbed the bitterness of the water and released sweetness to it. That tree is symbolic, a typology of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ took all our sins upon Himself, the guilt, the shame, the punishment which is death, all the bitterness and poison of sin. He even took upon Him the curse of the land because of sin, the thorns and thistles that the earth was cursed with in Genesis 3:18, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, was crowned to the Lord's head in Calvary. And through the cross, He released unto us all sweetness, redemption, salvation, joy, peace and His own righteousness. Colossians 2:14 blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21 For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And not only salvation and righteousness, He also released healing on our diseases of the body. That was why the very next verse, v. 26, after the waters were made sweet in Marah, the Lord uttered His promise to be our great physician, He proclaimed He is Jehovah Rapha, or the Lord that heals His people. On the cross of Calvary was not only salvation for our souls, but also healing for our bodies. Isaiah 53:5 But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24 Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Praise the Lord for His promise of healing. As long as we remain obedient and faithful to Him, He promised He will not put to us the diseases and plagues He put over the Egyptians, and if ever we will be sick, He is our healer, our great physician. This belief that we have in divine healing is crucial to the Christian faith. As much as we believe in the salvation of our soul through the cross, we should also have this solid, unshakable assurance on the promise of healing of the body. We can find that laying on of hands, which is done for the purpose of imparting spiritual gifts such as healing, receiving the Holy Ghost or ordaining someone into the ministry, is one of the foundational or basic doctrines of Christ, as stated in Hebrews 6:1-2. That means as much as we believe and practice faith, repentance, baptisms, belief in resurrection from the dead and eternal judgment, we must also believe and practice laying on of hands, one purpose of which is for praying for the sick. Healing is also one of the 9 spiritual gifts the Lord has given to the church, as stated in 1 Corinthians 12:9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. The church is imparted with such power and gift, and we need to use it for the edification of the body of Christ. We must exercise our faith over sickness, and ask for God's divine healing. Now regarding God's method of healing, we can find such varieties in the Bible. But we can generally categorize them to these four. 1. Immediate healing. 2. Gradual healing. 3. Healing by obedience. 4. Healing through common medication. 1. Immediate healing. We can find many examples of this in the Bible, and this is the most recognizable kind, to be attributed to divine healing. For example, Matthew 8:2-3, and, "Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand, and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." The moment the Lord touched and uttered the words, the leper was healed immediately. We can find many such examples in the ministry of our Lord, just like in the case of blind Bartimaeus. Mark 10:52, and Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. We can also find that in the ministry of the apostles, such as with Peter and John with the lame man in Gate Beautiful. Acts 3:6-7, then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And yes, it still happens today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. We can cite many testimonies of how a person was healed immediately when prayed over. We just need to have faith, and exercise it. Lay hands on the sick and pray for healing in Jesus' name, and he can heal a person immediately, if he wills it, and we have enough faith to believe it. 2. Gradual healing. There are times divine healing is not immediate, but rather gradual, or by recovery. We can find examples of this, such as with the son of a noble man in Galilee, who was at the point of death. He went to Jesus to ask him to heal his son, and the Lord confirmed unto him that his son will live. When he believed in his words, he went back to his house, and his servants met him along the way, and confirmed his son was healed. John 4:52, then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him." Here we see that when the Lord Jesus spoke as to the well-being of the noble son, the child began to amend, and the fever left him. The child's healing was gradual, and the beginning of which was the word of the Lord, and the father believing him. We know that fever is just a symptom, and not the sickness itself, but he began to amend, to recover, he began to be healed of the deadly disease, when the Lord declared he will be fine. Another example is the blind man in Bethsaida, in Mark 8. The Lord Jesus touched him the first time, and asked what he saw. The blind man said, Mark 8:24, and he looked up, and said, "I see men as trees, walking." The first touch of the Lord was the beginning of the recovery of his sight. From total blindness and darkness, he now began to see, but not yet full and clear, as he could only perceive men as though walking trees. The movements and images were somehow visible, but the full details, such as color, texture, the faces, were not yet in clear resolution. It seemed adjustment on the eye lens was needed to be done, to correct the focus and absorption of light, so the Lord touched him a second time. Mark 8:25, after that he put his hands again upon his eyes, and made him look up, and he was restored, and saw every man clearly. So there are times healing doesn't come immediately, but takes time, and even a second touch of the Lord. It is not a matter of God's lack of ability to heal immediately, but rather a matter of faith. Would we take the Lord for his word, that he heals, if we won't see it happening immediately? We just have to believe as what the Lord promised in his word. Mark 16:18, "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Sometimes we doubt God when we don't see healing happening immediately. But if God chooses to heal a person gradually, would it not be divine healing? Maybe we just don't know, but when we pray and lay hands on someone, God begins to repair inside that person's body the damaged organ. And yet we doubt sometimes, just because we don't see it. We just have to have faith that he will do it in the manner and time he wants to do it. Have you prayed over someone and it seemed nothing happened? Happened to me many times, but remember he also heals by recovery, as some healing requires time, and our faith should be unwavering while waiting. 3. Healing by obedience. Sometimes, divine healing requires obedience first, in the part of the sick person. The healing won't come in such cases, until the person obeys first what the Lord wants him/her to do. We can cite here Naaman's case in 1 Kings 5. Naaman was a general of Syria, who was a leper. As demanded by the Syrian king to the Israel king, Naaman went to the prophet Elisha to be healed of his leprosy. He brought with him rewards for the prophet in his chariots, for his healing. To his dismay, the prophet had the audacity to not speak with a high-ranking official, but rather sent a messenger to relay his instructions as to his healing. 2 Kings 5:10 And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. So instead of immediate healing, he was given a command, an instruction, that he must do, to be healed. The general was angry, as he expected the prophet to just call the name of the Lord, wave his hands, and voila, he would be healed of the leprosy. He expected some sort of immediate, magic-like performance from the prophet. But to his dismay, he was commanded to wash 7 times in Jordan River. He doesn't even want to do it in Jordan, for there are better rivers in his own city in Damascus, like rivers Abana and Pharpar. He was ready to walk away in anger, but he was convinced by his servants to obey the prophet. 2 Kings 5:13 And his servants came near, and spake unto him, and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash, and be clean? The servants were like saying, To obey the instructions is easy. As a sick person, he would be willing to do harder tasks, just to be healed, especially leprosy is such a dreadful disease to have in the ancient times. Why would it be hard for him to wash in the river? So he obeyed and dipped himself in the water 7 times, and he was healed, his flesh restored to as that of a baby's. So Naaman's healing happened when he obeyed the prophet's instruction. If he did not obey it, he would not be healed. Another example is that of the 10 lepers in Luke 17. Luke 17:12 And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices, and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, that, as they went, they were cleansed. Here the 10 lepers who asked for the Lord to heal them was instructed by the Lord to go and show themselves to the priest. As they obeyed, they were healed, though we know only one came back to thank the Lord Jesus. So there are times we pray for a person, and the person doesn't heal. Sometimes this is because God wants the person to do something first, to obey first, before healing is granted. There are some instances that a person receives complete healing or deliverance upon being baptized in Jesus' name. There are some instances that the Lord wants a person to repent first of a certain sin, or to give up a certain vice, before he heals the person. Usually, in such instances, the Lord gives instructions through the man of God, such as pastors. Just like in the case of Naaman, it would be good for the person to listen and obey the instruction given through the man of God, because healing will not happen unless he or she obeys. 4. Healing through common medications. In Isaiah chapter 38, the king of Judah, Hezekiah, was sick unto death. He had a boil, or a tumor, or a kind of ulceration, that was deadly. The prophet Isaiah was instructed by God to deliver the king the sad news. Isaiah 38:1 In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet the son of Amoz came unto him, and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die, and not live. What a sad news! It would be hard to hear this from a doctor, but imagine how devastating it was to hear it from the prophet of God. Because of this, Hezekiah prayed unto God and he cried. Isaiah 38:3 And said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And God heard Hezekiah's prayer. He told Isaiah to go back to Hezekiah his message of healing. Isaiah 38:5 Go, and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Praise the Lord. He hears our prayers, and sees our tears. 15 years will be added to the king's life, and as a sign, the shadow in the sundial, which was their instrument of telling time in the ancient days, will be turned back by 10 degrees. This has effects in the positioning of the earth and the sun, and will cause certain adjustments in the accounting of days and years, but the Lord did it to prove he is true to his words. So the healing was declared and confirmed by God, but see what the prophet Isaiah did. Isaiah 38:21 For Isaiah had said, Let them take a lump of figs, and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. So here we can see that although the healing has been confirmed, still, the prophet instructed to put a lump of figs as a plaster upon Hezekiah's boil. Dried figs in those times is a common medication for boils. So here, God in his divine healing also used a medium, to heal. God may use common medications at the time to heal or recover a person's health. So in our times, God may use common medications and the medical people to heal. Doctors can be used by God to heal and help us recover from sickness. We also know that Luke the evangelist was a physician, and there was no indication in the New Testament that upon being converted, that he renounced his profession. Though he became missionary with Paul, he was still regarded by Paul as a medical person. Colossians 4:14 Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas, greet you. So as Christians, we don't reject medical science and natural medications in healing the sick. We believe that they can be instruments of God for His divine healing. So if needed, we go to doctors and hospitals for medication. We just need to be careful to not place our complete dependence on doctors and medicines. If needed too, we take them, but not before praying first, and asking God that He would use them for our recovery. If the Lord did not declare Hezekiah would be healed, no matter how much dried figs they would put upon his boils, he would not heal. But since God already declared healing, they utilized common medication to usher the recovery. We must see doctors and common medications at the times as God's instruments for healing, but not solely put our hope in them, as if replacing God as our ultimate healer. He is still our healer, and they are just his instruments. See what King Asa did, which led to his death because of a disease in his feet. 2 Chronicles 16:12 And Asa in the 39th year of his reign was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great, yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. In conclusion, we must have this strong belief on God's power and faithfulness to his word. He is our Jehovah Rapha, we pray to him, that he would heal us, in any of these four ways. Now, are there times when God doesn't heal a person? Certainly. Maybe we all know a person or two, who died of a sickness, although we prayed for them. If God does not heal the person, then that is his will. That is the Lord being sovereign and in control of everything, even our lives. That is the Lord, acting upon his plan, which is always perfect and good. In his unsearchable wisdom, he decides and does what he wants to do, but in the end, we must trust he is good, and what he allows to happen is for the best, and they will all work together for the good of those who love him. It has nothing to do with his ability to heal, or the truthfulness of his promise. He is still our healer. Let this be our faith, even in these times of global health crisis. No matter what kind of new strains of viruses would show up, the name of Jesus is still more powerful than any sickness and disease. If God wills us to be healed, no matter what the odds, you will be healed. He is still God and in control, so we put our trust in him and pray for his divine healing. Jeremiah 17:14 Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed, save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. All quoted scriptures are from the King James Version.